Way back 100 years ago, our family of churches and Encompass World Partners got involved in a place called the Ubangi Chéri, which is in Central Africa. That was the area in French-speaking Africa. It was kind of, Africa was all divided up during the imperialism of colonialism of that time. And this place in Africa was, there was no missionaries there. There was no one intending to go there. And in our spiritual family in Philadelphia, a man by the name of James Gribble, he actually was a streetcar driver in Philadelphia, and one day, tragically, a woman slipped off of his streetcar, slipped underneath, and actually lost her life. James was totally grieved by the scenario, and every day on his streetcar, he drove by this Brethren Church, and they sang loud songs, and they had a great time, and so he decided those guys had some hope in that building, and so let me go there and find out how to salve my conscience. And so that Sunday he went, and he came to know the Lord that day as he found out about why Jesus came to earth and that he died on the cross on his behalf and rose again so that he could have life forevermore. That day, James went home. He came back to the Sunday evening service and went home that night, and that evening, he spent time with the Lord saying, thank you, thank you, thank you. The next morning, Monday morning, he showed up at the pastor's office. The pastor was L.S. Bauman, if some of you might know that name, in Philadelphia. And he said, you know, Pastor, I need to go to Africa. God wants me to go to Africa. And the pastor said, well, hold on. Just got saved yesterday. Let's take a little bit more time and sort this out. At that time, our family of churches was not ready to go to the mission field into Africa. We were working in Argentina and Canada at that time. But James, this is a map that he used, and this is in Africa, the area that the Central Africa part. And in the middle of that, you can see this is the Ubangi Chéri area of Central Africa. And this is a place that he had on his heart and his mind. Now, it took some time for James to actually get there. He actually, since our family of churches wasn't ready to go to Africa yet, he worked with Africa Inland Mission and actually went and worked on the other side of Africa to try and get trained and to do all that sort of stuff. And so this is Africa in the early 1900s. But one of the things that we found, James was a photographer. In fact, over here on this display, that's why this display is here, you'll see on this far left panel, there's him taking the very first selfie. He has a string in his hand, and he's clicking the camera with his hand, and he's taking. So he was his own photographer, and he journaled a lot. And one of the things that he wrote down in his journal was this: to preach the gospel in Ubangi Chéri is a privilege angels would leave heaven to enter into if they only had a chance. And so this became the driving force for James Gribble. James was by himself, and as he worked in Africa, he met this doctor, Dr. Florence, who was quite attractive to him. And I won't tell you the whole love story, but in the book Grain of Wheat, there's a copy of it over there, and there's also a link in your bulletin to some of the information about that. It's only $5. It's a great read. But they fell in love as they headed toward Jesus together. And this is James and Dr. Florence Gribble as they continue to work in East Africa at the time. The Lord brought along in October of 1915 Marguerite Gribble, who ended up being Marguerite Gribble Dunning. And anyway, she joined their family, and God allowed them and our family of churches to actually, in 1918, this is a humble crew, our fearsome fivesome, to head off to Central Africa to start to share the gospel and start our first churches in Africa. And so this is 1918. This is the ship that they head out on. It was called the City of Cairo. They didn't leave from the City of Cairo. The ship was called City of Cairo. These are some of the pictures that James took as he entered into the land. James and Florence and their humble team did not have, there was all kinds of permissions and all those sorts of things in this colonial area. The French government had to get permissions and all that kind of stuff. And so they actually, as they continued to work through, they began to share the gospel with anyone that they met. And, you know, at times these folks would actually come to know Jesus along the way. So they were heading up the river into the middle of Africa, and God continued to use them. One of the prayers that James prayed along the way and wrote down in his journal, "Oh God, purge me and send me and put me always into the very thickest of the fight." He knew that this was not going to be an easy task, and in that time they had a variety of malaria, blackwater fever, all kinds of illness and difficulty overtook them at times. This is another picture of a humble crew that was there. This is one of the things that he wrote as a prayer in his Bible or in his journal. "The obstacles, aside from faith in God, are insurmountable. Satan will not permit us to make the name of Jesus known in this dark land without contesting every inch. But it is by faith that we shall win, and we shall meet many redeemed ones in glory when our work on earth, till he come, is done." Now, James is praying in faith. He's struggling with disease and sickness on his own team, and but he's seeing some fruit along the way. Some people, he's got enough language, is able to speak with some of the leaders. You can see, James took this picture, you can see his hat in the shadow there in front. So this is his picture of some who he met and shared with. James often traveled by bicycle to many tribes and told many stories and rode around on a bicycle. And these are a couple of the young kids that he were missionary kids that jumped on the bike with him. But this is the way it appeared to him. But he had a story to tell. Amid the physical challenges and the difficulties, James had a story to tell, a story of Christmas to tell, the story of the good news about Jesus come to earth to die and to be raised so that they could have life. This is a picture of the fearsome foursome now. This humble team, one of the gals who was in that initial group had already passed away, and so this is James and his family, and I'm forgetting the other one, Myrtle May, I think. No, she passed away. So they're down to four people, and the obstacles are mounting up against them, and the physical challenges are difficult, but they do not give up. In fact, this is a picture of a baptism that they did have on their way. They still had not gotten into that central part. They hadn't been permitted to get into the place in which James dreamed about in the spot that he did, but along the way, they were still sharing the good news about Jesus. This is one of the other things that James wrote in his journal. "Our weak faith has been so honored of God that he has been pleased to put us at the very forefront of advanced work of missions in Africa today. It's truly significant that so small a mission as ours," remember he's looking around in the tent and seeing, you know, four of them, three of them, other than himself. "It's truly significant that so small a mission as ours should occupy such a center of missionary influence. It all comes from God, and to him be all the glory." Soon after he wrote these words in his journal, they did receive permission to go into that area that he had dreamed about going and sharing the gospel. But James, a second time, was actually overcome by black water fever, and James passed away before he actually got into that region that he dreamed about. And we wonder, we scratch our heads when things like this happen, like, okay, like the dream was for that. There was an opportunity to sow the gospel. There was fruitfulness. In fact, as we look at that picture of that team that went out in 1918, all of them did pass away, most of them in Africa. Marguerite, the daughter, did not pass away in Africa. Some of you had the privilege to know her here in the Long Beach area. But all of them gave their lives, Myrtle May, James, Florence, and Estella Myers, who's part of that original team, gave their lives so that Africans could know about Jesus. That humble, fearsome fivesome that was reduced to a foursome did become a force for Jesus, though, and the seeds of their lives have borne much fruit. This is something else from James's journals. "I shall be content with the lowest seat in heaven If only there I may sit and see the redeemed of the Lord come in from those fields where I have been a pioneer missionary. So I want to show you a little bit about what God's done since then.
Today in Central Africa, our movement is flourishing in 7 countries. Nine Bible institutes and 2 graduate schools are preparing a new generation of leaders. Local and regional church planters are training both in the classroom and on the field. Over 140 of them are now planting new churches. Elementary schools are focused on educating orphans. A hospital, 2 surgical centers, and 40 dispensaries are providing essential medical care. Leaders in government and education are learning to apply Christian ethics in the workplace. Tens of thousands of children are being discipled in hundreds of Sunday schools. And in 3,500 churches, men, women, and children are worshiping God in spirit and in truth. This movement of God continues to gain momentum because 100 years ago, a few courageous men and women said yes to God.
It's pretty cool that a few people said yes to, I'm going to go to the hardest place on the planet and share about Jesus. And so this panorama here kind of recognizes that. At the bottom, it recognizes nearly 200 people who went and served at least 2 years there. A lot of those started other ministries and those sorts of things. Our beloved Jim Hocking is on there, who started Water for Good. That's a partner. In your bulletin, you have a little ditty here. There's more on our website that you can find out about the story. This picture here is Jim and Barb Wooler, who both spent much time in Africa. Our brothers Don Hocking and his wife Betty, who are sliding into glory, working with Grace Bible Mission, are also on that. And so our involvement as a church family has been large in Africa, and God has honored it. So thank you for your gifts. And we're not done yet. The world still needs to know about Jesus.